Good afternoon. This is Dr. Josh Ennis, Humboldt County Deputy Health Officer, answering questions for the media availability on April 30th. So the first question here is, what is the margin of error on the two different model projections for Humboldt's COVID hospitalizations? So this is actually a great question. I think that maybe the origin of this question is due in part to my presentation where I showed some of the states modeling before we got to the more local modeling. And in the states modeling, there is this large cone of error that surrounded the median line. And so it showed that there was a big range surrounding this average scenario. Whereas on the county modeling, we just showed the line. So this speaks to the fact that the state ran their model over 1,000 times and got 1,000 different plots. And so they were able to create this cone of uncertainty. We in Humboldt County have only run it a handful of times. We don't have the personnel and computing power to run the model 1,000-fold or 10,000-fold. And so what was presented that day was one of the runs that we have done. So I don't have an actual margin of error for you based on the graph that was presented. I can tell you that there is a lot of uncertainty, and I can't quantify it at this time. But maybe I can get to the next question, because this will speak to some of the uncertainty. And the next question is, can you talk about what factors, data, or conditions are used to build these models, and in what ways they are likely to change over time? So the modeling is very complex. It takes into account a lot of information about transmission dynamics. And so when I say that word, what I mean are features of the virus and how it spreads from person to person, how many people on average get infected by each newly infected person, what period of time it takes for the number of cases to double, how long between exposure and when someone becomes symptomatic, the incubation period, the infectious period. And so I think we have a somewhat reasonable grasp on some of these things, but many of them are somewhat unknown. You know, we don't know the true infection hospitalization rates or ICU rates or mortality rates. And the reason is because we've had very limited testing. And so no one really knows what the true amount of disease within the population is. And this is why there has been such a push to try and get more widespread testing available throughout the state and throughout the country for that matter. And so, you know, we've seen more recent media coverage about antibody studies. And so it's generated a lot of speculation about what the implications could be for some of these other values. And so I think that over time, we will develop a better idea for how widespread the disease is, and we'll be able to better refine our true rates for hospitalization, ICU stays, ventilator rates, as well as mortality rates. So the third question is, during our recent surge dialogue, you discussed both efforts by hospitals to maximize internal capacity and collaborations between the state and county to build out alternate care sites to bolster surge capacity. Can you provide an update on where these efforts are, when Humboldt County's infrastructure will be fully built out, and what maximum capacity will be for total beds, intensive care beds, and ventilators? So the alternate care sites, we currently have plans for two separate alternate care sites that the county is supporting. I think a lot of attention has been put on the Redwood Acres site, but there is actually a second ACS that the county is supporting. And so I'll get to the Redwood Acres site, but the first site is actually being developed in partnership with Mad River Hospital. And Mad River is partnering with us to further develop their own internal surge capacity plans to incorporate a more seamless transition to surge capacity planning that incorporates an alternate care site. And so they have a couple sites outside of their traditional hospital walls where they plan to increase bed capacity, and they have incorporated that into their own internal surge capacity plans to help build out their licensed bed or above and beyond their licensed bed capacity. The second alternate care site is at Redwood Acres, and the county has been supporting this facility as well. We are still formalizing relationships with regional operational partners, and so, you know, we're still trying to work out details with this particular site. But when we have both these sites fully supported, we had developed in mind a target of approximately 150 beds, and this number comes from in conjunction with some of the modeling we've been doing, as well as the guidance that we've received from the state. But this satisfies the condition of being able to build out surge capacity somewhere in the range of 40 to 60% of our licensed bed capacity. In terms of ICU beds, ventilators, you know, this is somewhat of a moving target because a lot of spaces within hospitals can be repurposed, such as operating rooms becoming ICU spaces. Ventilators, I can tell you if, you know, there were a surge tomorrow, I believe the number's 46 across the county. The county has secured 5 more. I know that there have been requests from some of the hospitals, and they are in queue to potentially receive more. So, you know, that's the number that I have for you today. There is certainly flexibility and the means to increase that, and we plan to track and pay close attention to that as we move into seeing more disease circulation in the community. So number 4 here, similarly, during the recent dialogue, you mentioned a potential tripling of hospital ICU capacities locally, an overall expansion of hospital beds, and the alternate care sites. What are the county and local providers doing currently to make sure there's the healthcare workforce needed to operate all these facilities at full capacity? And are there estimates as to when this workforce expansion will be in place and ready? So I think this question really points out what I think is the crux of this whole planning here, and that's that our workforce is probably the most critical component of this, and likely where we're to experience the most significant limitations. And so there's been a lot of discussion with the hospitals, other healthcare entities out in the community about what this could look like. We have asked all of our partners in the community to organize their workforce. And so as part of that discussion, you know, there has been a lot of focusing on what are the healthcare workforce skill sets that people have. So I'll give you an example. You know, if we had to triple ICU bed capacity, who's going to staff those beds? We should look at telehealth options. We should look at repurposing providers who have some of the skill set. I know that anesthesiologists and surgeons certainly possess some of the skills that are required for a delivery of critical care. When one of the ACSs starts accepting patients, do we have folks out in the community who potentially are comfortable enough with inpatient medicine that could be could contribute to the workforce there as well? So we're looking to try and be as creative as possible to meet the needs of the community and do it safely. We also have other routes through state-based entities such as California Health Corps, DHV, CalMAT. But I think for us, we would like to see this happen locally as much as possible, and that will lead to the most robust plan in place if we can keep it all locally. Number five is today's Los Angeles Times has a story about the possibility of monitoring the COVID-19 prevalence in a community by sampling municipal sewage systems. Could this approach be applied in Humboldt? Could it give us early warning of an outbreak? So wastewater sewage testing has certainly been something we have discussed in Humboldt County. We are aware of other counties doing this. I believe that Lake County was looking at this sometime back. When we last visited this, we all felt that it was a little too preliminary to try and place a lot of time and effort into rolling this out. It could have a role to play in the more population-dense areas that have a wastewater system. I think we know that across Humboldt County, since we're geographically spread out, this won't catch many of those folks who may be on a septic system. There may be some role here to play in the future, but as far as interpreting the results and having results being validated, I think it's a little too preliminary at this point to make any real firm conclusions, but it has potential to, in the absence of really widespread testing, to supplement the picture of what's going on. But it is not a standalone strategy. Next question here is, the Redwood Acres facility appears close to being completely set up, but it would seem as though it won't be needed for quite some time, or if ever. Is it staffed? Is it fulfilling any function in the interim? So the Redwood Acres facility is not completely set up. We do have some stuff in there, such as the beds. We just had some nursing stations delivered. There are several details that still need working out. I'm unsure where the HVAC system's at. I think we're trying to take care of showering, the PPE station. And so there are still some things that are working on procuring, medical supplies, oxygen. So I would say it's not completely set up at this point. This being the case, it's not staffed with any medical personnel. There are certainly OES staff there working on getting the place fully set up. And so it's not fulfilling any function at this point. Before we got started, it was essentially a big empty a building, and we're continuing to build it out at this time. The next question is, are there any risks of keeping local beaches open? And I might just roll this in with the next question, which is fairly related. If beaches are kept open, how can people safely congregate while keeping the health officer's orders? So I think this is maybe picking up on the recent governor's announcement about beach closures. I believe the answer to this may be somewhat moot at this point. I think the governor has clarified that this order only applies to those beaches in Orange County. In any event, both Sheriff Hansel as well as Dr. Frankovich have voiced their opposition to this recent announcement, and feel that this is one area where a one-size-fits-all state approach does not align with what makes sense at the county level. And I think we all live in Humboldt County because we like being outside, we like enjoying the natural landscape, and I think that beaches are one avenue to that. Now, I think that the risk here is that we need to continue to demonstrate that we can do so in a responsible manner. And so that means observing the physical distancing measures, wearing a facial covering if it's safe for you to do so, and also making sure you stay within your bubble of people that you normally interact with, try to minimize the risk of transmission to others. And so for the last question here, I apologize. I'm still trying to find the last question. It was added on a little later. Okay. The San Francisco Chronicle reported Thursday that even after general stay-at-home orders are eased, restrictions on seniors will likely remain long into the future. How do you see that playing out for Humboldt seniors? Yeah, this is a really great question. Seniors, we certainly know, are one of the most at-risk groups for severe disease or death from COVID-19. And so a lot of our efforts are centered now on preparedness for protecting those at higher risk. And, you know, seniors are certainly make up a good chunk of those who are at risk. And so, you know, I'm unsure if the question is getting at seniors in general, but I can speak to some of our efforts in working with skilled nursing facilities. We have been very proactive in trying to help support the local skilled nursing facilities to help them develop processes to protect existing residents and get more comfortable with, infection prevention measures that will help limit spread of disease should there be a case identified within a nursing facility. You know, more generally speaking, for some of our seniors who are living out in the community, we're going to have to find ways to support them being at home. And, you know, I think the county has really come a long ways over the past month or two in rapidly deploying systems to help support folks who are under isolation and quarantine orders. And, you know, looking ahead to the time when orders are not as restrictive, you know, I could see a lot of parallels here with the current systems we put in place in trying to help seniors who are potentially more at risk of severe disease, needing to stay in the home, and leveraging these systems that we have already built out to help facilitate seniors being at home and also protecting themselves and still being able to get what they need, such as food items, shopping, and what have you. So we have some of the processes in place, and we can look to model some of them after what already exists for the current population that has to isolate and quarantine based on test results.